Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for every stage in life. What if you could visit or have a home that would accommodate anyone at any age, any physical ability, at any time? How cool would that be? That's what we're doing here at Aging in Place. Why me? Because I'm a doctor of psychology, and I specialize in physical spaces and health and wellness. Also, I love designing with intent at any age. Why now? Because we, the baby boomers, want to age in place gracefully, and we want our families around us as much as we can. And why you, the audience? Because we want you to experience what it's like to have a home that's safe, aesthetically pleasing, and that you can live in at any age, with any ability, at any time. I'd like to introduce you now to Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life. Hi, and welcome to Aging in Place for any stage in life. I'm Dr. Debbie Lyons, and I'm here today with my friend Kathleen Mayers from KPM Flooring. I have known Kathleen for a lot of years, and she is the consummate professional when it comes to knowing absolutely everything about flooring, about hard surfaces, tiles, about wood, about carpet, all kinds of great things. We're talking about aging in place, but for absolutely any stage in life. Before we get started, can I hear a little bit about you, your family, your background?
Sure. Obviously, I'm Kathleen Mayers. I was born and raised on Tybee Island, so not far from here. I'm a true local. Mm-hmm. I lived kind of all over after college and ended up settling back in the Lowcountry on Hilton Head, feeling it was close enough to home, but far enough away for me to have my own life. Much of my family is still in Savannah and Tybee.
Which I love. And you know, this is a national program, so it's kind of fun. Isn't your daughter going north?
My eldest daughter is a freshman at Columbia College in Chicago. I went to school up north for college. My sister went to school up north for college, and she stayed. She's never left the north. And having visited Chicago several times and my sister living there, my eldest Emma fell in love with it and just decided it was a place she'd like to be. So she is truly enjoying her freshman year of college in Chicago.
And the reason I bring that up, that we're here in the Lowcountry, your daughter is north, is when we talk about flooring, I would say that that would be a that geography might be a consideration.
Absolutely.
When we're talking about flooring.
Absolutely. I mean, it always kind of cracks me up when I have clients who come in from the north and want to talk about radiant heat flooring. It is available, but not really something right. We do a whole lot in the Lowcountry. But if you live in Michigan, by golly, in the dead of winter, you want to get up to a warm bathroom floor. It makes a big difference.
Well, it really does. Can we just talk about some basics first?
Sure.
Can we talk about products that are trending, that are new, that are accessible, if you will?
Sure. What I would say about, you know, there aren't a huge number of radical innovations in floorings. There are dramatic improvements to existing product types.
Okay.
Probably the largest growing segment in the flooring industry right now, whether it be for residential, and certainly we see a lot of it in senior living and in commercial, or what's called vinyl plank or vinyl tile. It can come in a number of different formats, a number of different installation methods, but basically it's vinyl that looks either like a tile or looks like a hardwood.
So when I think of vinyl, I think of linoleum in a bathroom in 1967.
Correct. I mean, we went from true linoleum to Armstrong vinyl when I first moved to the island. Even the best houses had vinyl. We were making selections for people for vinyl in their master bathrooms.
I so remember that.
Yeah, so then everything went away from vinyl. Vinyl kind of got a bad rap for a lot of years, and everybody went to tile or stone. It was whatever we had to have. Now the product has evolved, and it's come back. The printing process for vinyl is so good right now that certain vinyl planks that look like wood, you're really hard-pressed at first glance to know they're not hardwood.
What are some of the brands, number one, and what are some of the advantages of putting a vinyl down?
Well, brands, that's one thing, certainly, because the market has grown, the brand name has gotten really wide, and it's crazy because since the carpet market has started to die off a little bit, not as many people are putting carpet in, most of my major carpet manufacturers are now selling vinyl plank. My huge flooring market is in about 2 weeks in Vegas, and I've gotten so many emails that say, come by our booth and see our new vinyl product from carpet vendors. I'm like, everybody's recognizing that that's the trend where a lot of people are going. You wouldn't think somebody who could make carpet could also make vinyl well, but the manufacturing is out there, and certainly they're capable. So there have to be thousands of brands of vinyl these days. What I would tell you the advantages to it.
Sure.
Super cleanable, super durable. I mean, it, from a retailer standpoint, maybe not the best thing because you could put it down and it's going to last you a whole lot longer than a carpet would in the same space.
Okay.
And to a certain extent, maybe even hardwood, in, you know, depending where you're installing it, it could last longer. So that's nice. Maintenance. It's low maintenance versus maybe a wood that you have to worry about refinishing, or, you know, in this day and age, wax finished floors that come back, you have to, you know, wax them. For the most part, the maintenance on a vinyl floor is damp mopping it.
Is it more of a commodity where it doesn't really matter what brand I do choose? They're all pretty much.
What I would tell you is that there, you could, from most brands out there, you can find something good.
Okay.
You know, everybody's going to have like a range of offerings, and certainly in my showroom, I don't necessarily offer all five products from this vendor because I think products 2 and 3 are the best they offer, versus from this vendor, I think products 1 and 4 are the best they offer. So I kind of cherry pick what I think either are the best visuals, they offer the best value, or they just have something different that nobody else has.
You know, I do want to go back to carpet because I think it's really interesting. With 9 grandchildren, and I've got my son, or Molly has 2 little ones, 1 and a half little ones, and they are getting ready to redo their bedroom. They only want carpet because they still want to get up, and they're young, mm-hmm. and put their feet on something that's soft. And it's funny because I was like, you should really look at vinyl, and they're, no, absolutely not. So are you finding that we're still looking at some carpets?
Yeah, certainly. And I would say bedrooms where we still see carpet. In a lot of cases, you know, I'm not arguing with Molly, but I mean, we would see a hard surface in the master, and then yes, bedrooms are carpet.
Oh.
And I can't always tell you that it maybe is not an economics issue, more so that if people had the money, they would do it. Vinyl is certainly not as expensive as hardwood, but it is typically on par with a medium to higher grade carpet. So you could get a lower end carpet for your guest bedrooms, especially if you don't have many friends and
sure.
you come visit,
yes,
you're not going to have a lot of traffic in your guest bedrooms, you know? So then you could put something in that would look nice and you don't really have to worry about performance. You're going to get a much longer life out of a vinyl floor than you will almost any carpet I could sell you.
Okay.
So once again, you're making a commitment to something. You're making, I'd like a gray floor, and I'm going to like a gray floor for 15 years or whatever the case would be. I mean, you certainly can replace it, but to replace carpet is a whole lot easier than to replace a vinyl floor.
Is there any kind of carpet that's particularly good as we age, let's say for a 1-year-old or a 91-year-old? My dad lives with me, and I'm always wondering from a carpet standpoint, are there some that are just, not just from a maintenance standpoint, but easier to maneuver?
Certainly. I would say, more so than sometimes just the carpet itself, when your main things you want to think about are transitions. Like we just spoke about that you typically see carpet in the bedrooms. Then you have a surface outside the door. You want to think about what that transition is. You don't want to have a really thick carpet that's almost a step up. I mean, a toe, something you can stub your toe on going into the bedroom every time.
Trip and fall.
Exactly.
I never thought about that.
And then you want to make sure that even if you were to choose a plusher carpet, okay. meaning something that has, you know, a nice feel to it, you want to have a firm, dense pad because balance as we age is a huge deal, and it's so important. You know,
that's your thing.
Yeah. My physical therapist is all about working, even at my age, working on balance, closing my eyes and working on it. But yeah, so balance, as we lose our balance over time, anything that's a less stable platform becomes problematic. So make sure you have a firm cushion or a nice flat, dense carpet.
I never even thought about that either. It's funny, my dad has neuropathy, and I think mm-hmm. that's always, he seems so unstable, especially on a carpet. Mm-hmm. Never thought about the padding is helping with that.
Absolutely.
So talk to me a little more from a trending carpeting. Are you seeing a lot of pattern? Are you seeing a lot? I remember, and this is dating us, I think, sisals and seagrass and a lot of these natural products were like the coolest thing ever.
And so we still see more of those, but where we see them now typically are area rugs on top of the vinyl floor or on top of the wood floor.
All right.
In terms of carpet, yes, I would say for sure we see more pattern. It's not actually something that screams at you. It may not even be a pattern that's created by more than one color. It may be a pattern created by texture that you combine a cut and a loop so that the pattern is really subtle. I always say that if you can get something with a little bit of interest in it, it's more forgiving. So if you have that coffee dribble as you walk across
yes.
it, you know what I mean?
Yes.
It's not going to show that. Or even your traffic patterns. You know, you always walk from the end of your bed to the bathroom, and that creates a certain traffic pattern in your carpet. So if you have something that's not smooth and flat or high sheen, then you're going to see that less in a carpet.
Go going back to the vinyl and some of the other floors, I know we did a senior care facility, and one thing you kind of drilled into my head was transitions and breaking up patterns. In other words, when we talked about putting a vinyl down, you said, you know, for people who are aging and it's tough to see, putting some kind of a visual distraction or break or contrast, I guess.
Sure.
I mean,
again, sometimes you have to give them the ability to distinguish depth as they walk. You know, okay. So you have to be careful in terms of what you choose as a pattern. So if you get something that's like super geometric, you know, it can hurt your eyes.
Got
so
it.
Therefore, it's difficult for them to focus and to be able to walk. So subtle is nice, but yeah, something with a pattern so that, you know, especially if you have any type of contouring in the floor, that they're able to see that more quickly.
That makes a lot of sense. We're going to take a quick break. This is super fun. I love talking about this. Do you feel like you do this every day? Yes, you do, because you do. Stay with us. We'll be right back here on Aging in Place. Hi, I'm Dr. Debbie Lines. Design elements are psychologically and physically supportive and conducive to health and wellness. To learn more about what Lines on Design can do for you, for more information on certified aging in place and facilitative and supportive design, look for us at linesondesign.com. That's LYNES on design.com. We are back here on Aging in Place. Kathleen Maris has joined us. She is the owner of KPM Flooring. She's also quite a professional in the field and well-respected. She's also a designer, if I can say, and has created some absolutely magnificent area rugs. Probably the most fun thing I've ever done was come in with you and actually customized an area rug, picking out the fabrics and the threads and the colors. It was a blast. So how did you get into that?
Into rug design?
Yeah, into rug design.
Well, you know, I worked for a company on the island who's no longer here for years, and we had a good rug department. And then when I went into business for myself in researching vendors for my new business, I found a newer vendor, and it was, I'm going to say, one of the things they promoted, but they offered it. And as I got more and more into what I wanted to make how to differentiate my business, that's one of the things I thought. If you could come in and make a carpet very specific to you, whether it is a specific size or a specific color or a specific pattern, I have this painting and I love the colors in it, and I'd like to have a rug with the same. It kind of started small, and it just really grew and grew, partly because my ability to do it and my confidence level and my ability to do it grew, because obviously you're asking someone to make an investment in a rug, and you want to make sure that you do it. And knock wood, we've had great success with it, and that portion of our business has grown and grown to the point where some of my designs that I've done, the vendor that I've done them with, has introduced them into their lines. So now they're in their running line, the custom projects that I've done here
locally.
Pretty
exciting.
Yeah, it is nice. It's interesting to go to market and be standing there and have somebody coming on a rug, and I'm like, That's mine.
Oh my goodness. Well, let's talk about safety.
Sure.
And rugs.
Okay.
Is there a way that I can, because I know we were just talking in another podcast about, as we get older, we don't have to be older, any of us fall in love with our designs. And we fall in love with the custom rug that we got. I don't particularly want to move it. Are there some safety tips that you give to people about how and where to locate them, ways that you can tack them down? I don't really know.
Well, you had talked about natural fiber. So the first thing I always talk about is, if you like a natural fiber rug, you need to accept that in our market, now we talked about Michigan earlier, but not much in Michigan, but in our market, when we have our heat running in the winter, and then all of a sudden we get to a 98% humidity summer, natural fibers grow. And when they're cut off the vine, they still continue to grow. What I mean is, when we get to that 98% humidity summer, the fibers tend to expand.
Okay.
So when you get expansion and contraction in a rug, quite often you can have issues with the edges starting to curl.
Oh.
So if you're worried about tripping hazard, have an older member in your family, I would not recommend a natural fiber rug, because that's inherent to the product and there's nothing that we can do about it. I mean, it is what it is. Just like your hardwood floors in your house, in the winter they shrink a little bit, and then the summers they expand a little bit. Natural fibers can do the same thing. And then when you bind it on the edge, and the binding is now movable because it's not a natural fiber, you know, it's a polyester or a cotton or a wool, so it doesn't grow when the fiber grows, so then you get expansion and contraction and the edges can curl. So if that's a consideration for you, have an elderly family member or mom who comes to visit, I would not recommend that. There are, however, synthetics that look like natural fibers that we could do that don't have the inherent problems that a natural fiber rugs, the expansion and contraction. And then after that, pad is what's key, to make sure you have the correct pad, both for the rug that you're choosing and for the surface that it's going on, and then it's cut properly. If you have a thicker rug, you want to cut your pad so that it actually falls short of the edge of your rug. And what that allows it to do is, if you think about pad having a couple of millimeters of height, your rug having none, it allows it then to curl back down and creates a slope. It's a super subtle thing. Okay. You don't notice it at all. Typically, sure, when you're looking at the rug, but it makes a difference versus having a pad that's a couple of millimeters thick, then the rug finishing just at the edge of that, you almost create a little trip hazard once again. So you want to make sure you trim your pad so that you have a subtle slope all the way around your rug.
Oh, you're good. This is so...
I have my moments. You caught me on a good day.
Yeah, there you go. It's so interesting. It really is. Talk to me. We talked a little bit about wood floors. Tell me about wood floors. What's trending? What are we seeing?
Wide planks are certainly in. More of that than anything else. I would say we haven't gone away from gray, but probably we're going maybe to a warmer gray than we've seen in a few years. Before, up until this year, it was very maybe cool, almost like a white gray, and now, yes, we're seeing more warm undertones in the flooring. I don't think gray is going to go away anytime soon. But yeah, and typically if somebody does hardwood, if their budget allows, they're putting it throughout pretty much as they can of their house. We're seeing it in all areas.
Even in kitchens?
Definitely in kitchens. I've had my hardwood in my house since 1997. I'm a proponent of hardwoods in your kitchen. I think for me personally, I find it easier when we talk about living in a home long term. I find it better on my back than tile is. It's a little bit more forgiving, uh-huh, than a tile floor is. If I'm standing in my bathroom for an extended period of time versus standing in my kitchen for an extended period of time, I can really feel the difference there. So I like hardwood. But
when you're talking about hardwood, are you talking about hardwood, engineered wood? Are there different kinds of wood?
Often I have people come in the showroom and they say, well, you know, we want real wood.
Real wood.
Yeah. So in some people's mind, real wood, especially, I keep referring to people from Michigan. If you're coming down from Michigan, you're used to Ohio.
Poor Michigan.
I love Michigan. You're used to a 3/4 inch thick floor because that's what it quite often is done in the north. Here, again, where we have 98% humidity in the summers, a solid wood floor is a bad idea because just like those area rugs are going to expand and contract.
Wood.
And what an engineered floor is, it is real wood.
Okay.
It's a real wood floor, but it is manufactured with layers of hardwood, and the layers of the wood are turned cross-grained to one another. Wood will only expand and contract in the direction of the rings of the tree. So by turning the layers of wood cross-grained to one another, each layer inhibits the amount of expansion and contraction in the layer above it or below it. So an engineered hardwood floor is ideal for our climate. You know, people get concerned about, well, you know, it's not as thick. You know, I can't refinish it as many times. Certainly there are hardwood floors out there that the wear layer is not as thick. But if you think about a 3/4 inch floor, if you really wanted to sand it, you can only sand it down to the tongue of the wood.
Correct.
Once you get past that, it doesn't matter that you got a 1/2 inch underneath that, the wood's going to come apart because you don't have the tongue and groove holding it together anymore.
Got it.
So there are engineered floors that, in theory, you can still sand down to the tongue, get multiple sandings out of it to refinish your floor. So we certainly can give you 99.9% of all the bells and whistles you get with a solid floor and an engineered floor. And durability-wise, longevity-wise, in this market, it's just a much better bet.
Are there wood floors that are harder than others?
Yes, and that is related to the species of the tree.
Okay.
And there's actually what's called a Jenka hardness scale out there where somebody actually has tested nearly every species of wood to determine how hard it is. Pine, which is very popular in the low country, is very, very soft. I joke and tell customers when they come in and they want a pine floor because mm-hmm. they want that low country look. I said, you just need to accept that if you look at your pine floor funny, it may scratch. I mean, it's just that
right,
soft.
Okay.
And then you can get to something that's harder, like a hickory or a maple. I mean, there's all kinds of species out there. So we ask those kinds of questions to clients when they come in.
Do people who love pine floors accept the fact
yes.
that it just has character
yes.
and it's going to have that?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, they do. I mean, and I think most people know because if you go into a really old Southern home, like in Charleston, that floor's
sure.
beat up.
Yes, it is.
And you like that character about it. So, you know, you just have to accept that about it going into it.
And then, so What are the hard ones again? The harder ones?
A hickory is a very hardwood floor, a hard, hardwood. Maple is a very hardwood.
What happened to the old oak floors? Are we used?
No, we still see oaks. I mean, in this day and age, they can be a true like European oak, or they are an American oak made to look like a European oak. And that's where we're seeing a lot of that wide plank. People call it like French white oak flooring.
Okay.
It's not all really French white oak flooring. It's right. Made to look like that. But yeah, that certainly... we'll probably do more oak than anything else right now.
Talk to me about the installation of flooring. So far we've talked about vinyl plank. We've talked a little bit about carpet, and we've talked about the solid wood floors. And I'm actually setting you up for that, because you've always shared with me that installation is key.
Mm-hmm. It absolutely is. Preparation of the subfloor, making it sure that it's ready for your installation, making sure that you have, I mean, I keep talking about moisture, making sure you have no moisture issues. If your plywood subfloor is wet, or if your slab is wet, then that's something we need to address before we start trying to put a wood floor down on top of it, or any flooring down on top of it. So yes, I mean, I think installation is the most important piece of what you're doing. It has to be the appropriate adhesive. It has to be cured the appropriate amount of time. The installer has to use the correct trowel. I mean, people think it's just kind of a...
Back to this one. What's the cured?
Different adhesives have different set rates. Typically, you don't spread an adhesive then just start slapping your floor down. Sometimes you have to set up for a little bit to get tacky, you know, so that your materials then adhere properly.
Very interesting. We're going to take a quick break and come right back here with Kathleen Mears on the Aging in Place podcast. Stay with us.
For more podcast episodes, links, information, and media inquiries, please visit our website at agingInPlacePodcast.com as we transition through life with the comfort and ease you deserve. Discover how you can create a home that will adapt to you as you journey through life and the changes it will bring. Please follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as our host, Debbie Lines, and her expert guests discuss relevant topics to creating a home for all decades in life. Don't miss our weekly episodes of Aging in Place podcast for every stage in life.
We're back here on Aging in Place. Kathleen Mears has joined us from KPM Flooring, and we're talking about floors for any stage in life. We're talking about not just what is beautiful, but what is practical, and ways that really any kind of flooring can be used at any age is basically what you're saying. Talk to me about hard surfaces. We've talked a little bit about wood. We've talked about rugs. We've talked about carpet. We've talked about the luxury vinyl planking. I see gorgeous, gorgeous big pieces of stone and ceramic and porcelain out there. Can I ask you a real basic question? Difference between ceramic and porcelain, first of all, where to use what, and what are you seeing as far as size and shape and color and all that good stuff?
Okay, so first question, the difference between ceramic and porcelain is the material that it is made out of. Ceramic is typically made from a powder that is a much coarser grit than porcelain is. So the basic substrate of the tile. So what you get then with a porcelain tile is a product with less microscopic air pockets.
Okay.
So it's harder in that regard. And also the printing of a porcelain tile can be much more refined. Think of it like painting on fabric would be printing a ceramic tile. You're subject to bleed.
You know, okay, that makes sense.
Versus printing on a porcelain tile is like painting on glass.
Got it.
You kind of make a stroke and it stays right where it is. When porcelain first came on the market, pretty much everything was called through body porcelain, meaning that the pattern that you saw was created by layering these particles and creating the pattern. So it was all the way through the porcelain.
Got it.
That's an expensive process. So after a while, that kind of went away, and now porcelain products have gone to being printed. And if you think what's happened in printing in general in the last 10 years,
sure,
that I could 3D print this microphone if I wanted to, you know. So the printing has gone, you know,
crazy.
Leaps and bounds where it started. So the visuals you can get now on a porcelain tile are so realistic. They take screens and they print a huge batch of them, then they shift the screen around. So even though you may get the same little vein in your tile, chances are it's not going to be in the exact same portion of the next square that it was on this one. So it looks different. They're not as cookie cutter as they used to be. So that whole printing process of being able to shift the screens of the screen printing has made the visual seem much more realistic on a porcelain tile.
What are you seeing when it comes to, are you seeing more ceramic or more porcelain? And are you seeing a bigger scale tile? Are you seeing it strictly in a contemporary home? Don't you love how I ask you 30 questions?
Yeah, so, far more porcelain than ceramic. I mean, okay. I'd say the bulk of what we do left in ceramic is probably subway tile.
Okay.
That's still ceramic. I mean, there's certainly some out there. And some, when people are in this day and age, when we talked about like handmade rugs, there are opportunities out there to have specific custom tiles. There are custom, you can have fired just for you ceramic tiles.
So my initials or my grandchildren.
Well, I mean, or even just a color or a design that you want. So, I mean, that's the whole thing. But day in and day out, far more porcelain than ceramic. And certainly larger format. I mean, people like the idea of larger format because it has less grout.
Okay.
But you have to be careful because when you go to large format, I mean, you can get ones that are as big as the door to your bedroom kind of size tile. I mean, just huge tiles. But what that then requires is a near to perfect subfloor. Because if you have any type of undulation in your slab or your plywood subfloor, if you have a huge piece, it doesn't bend or contour to that. Versus if you had in the same space, you're putting 12 tiles in, you can actually shift and slide those to allow for the fact that the subfloor is not perfect.
What do you think about safety in tile? I know that almost all bathrooms have tile. How do you prevent slipping? Are there rules of the road for any of that?
I mean, I have people who come in and like look at a shiny marble and are very concerned about it. Oh, I could never have that in my bathroom because it's such a slip hazard. And then what I say to them is, think about the most beautiful hotels you've ever been to. What's in their lobby?
Marble.
Shiny marble. And if that were truly a slip hazard, they were worried, they couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. I mean, what you talk about in slip, you talk for tile or any surface, is the coefficient of friction. And so they're all rated. You typically
coefficient
of friction.
Okay.
So if you look at the coefficient of friction for a shiny tile versus a smooth tile, the difference is minuscule. So, I mean, it's just a subjective thing in terms of that when you look at it, it seems like it's going to be more slippery.
Sure it does.
Having said that, if you do have an elderly member of your family or someone with some type of physical limitation that makes walking hard, I would say maybe tile might not be the best surface because even though the difference between a shiny tile and a matte tile is not that difference in slippery, the difference between tile and say maybe a slightly textured vinyl, there is a difference there. So although tiles themselves, there's not a huge difference in slip. Maybe there might be a better surface or, again, you know, appropriate flat carpet.
So that's really what I was going to ask you. What are the options as far as bathrooms if you're not going to do a tile?
You can do a tile, but one thing to consider, I mean, you kind of sacrifice a little bit perhaps in the cleanability, is that you would want something with more grout because the grout lines aid in the
sense.
Slip resistance.
Yeah.
That's why in a lot of cases, so many shower floors are really small
like
mosaics.
Like little pennies.
Because there's so much grout and it makes them less slippery. There are also some technical things about the drain and make you be able to slope to the drain. But I think to a certain extent, there's an advantage there because it makes them less slippery.
That makes sense.
I mean, I'm not advocating you don't do tile in your bathrooms, but I would say consider something on a smaller scale with more grout. And certainly not something with a whole lot of character in it that would have irregular edges then creating a lip. Another trip hazard. And that also goes back to installation. You have to make sure that your installer prepares the subfloor and allows for that, and you get those joints as level as possible.
Let me ask you a question about aging in place and about questions that you ask your clients. When a client comes in, do you ask lifestyle questions?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I would say a good portion of our initial conversation with people are all questions. You know what I mean? Do you live here year round? If it's an older couple, will you look at them and say, well, you think, oh, maybe they don't need it. How often do your grandkids come to visit? Are they here a lot?
Visitability, that's our buzzword.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Are your grandkids coming in and throwing their wet bathing suits on the floor? You know, do you have a pool? You know, those kinds of things. You know, how close is your house to the beach? You know, do we have to worry about sand? You know, pets? I mean, there's a million questions. And we do ask, how long do you plan to stay in the house? Is this something that you're only want to be in a year, then you plan to sell it again? Or is this something that we need to plan for the fact that you're now reaching the age where, you know, considerations need to be thought about for physical limitations,
sure,
or you know what you want to do with your life. I mean, a lot of people come here because this is their forever home. They want to retire here and spend the rest of their days here. So how do you make a home as livable and as comfortable for someone when they've made that choice to come here and make Hilton Head their final home?
Let me ask you a question about budget too. Are your consumers more educated than they used to be when they come in? Do most people have a pretty decent idea of what carpeting costs are, plank vinyl costs or whatever?
No, I don't really think so, because I think there's so much information out there and it's all over the board. I mean, you can hear things about price point. Oh, yeah, it's this, then all of a sudden you read.
Oh, go to the big box and you can get it for $1.99.
Yeah, you read the disclaimer at the bottom, like, okay, well, yeah, no, it really doesn't apply to me, or it's not really worth my time. And, you know, it applies to the 4 cartons we still have in stock. You know,
that kind of price.
I have nothing against big box stores. They certainly, fill a niche. So I don't necessarily think that they have price considerations, but certainly I think in this day and age, they have visual idea. I mean, when they come in, they kind of know what they like. And I always ask people, to me, it's as important for me to know what you like as what you don't like. In your last house, what did you love about your flooring? What did you hate about your flooring? Because we don't want to, I hated the fact that my carpet showed every traffic pattern. I hated cleaning that grout all the time in my bathroom. Okay, well, those will help you make the best decision possible for your new selections.
Are you finding that people are ready to step out of their comfort zone and pick some fun and fanciful things? Or are most people using their flooring again as sort of a neutral anchor to their home?
I mean, I think I would say living room, dining room, kitchen, floors, pretty safe.
Okay.
We're not seeing a whole lot of, action there. Backsplashes, bathroom walls, feature walls and powder rooms, behind the pedestal sink when you come in. You may have that gray wood floor leading into your powder room, then you use something, around your mirror even. I mean, because maybe it's not a ton of tile. But yeah, so I think people are willing to put themselves out there in small quantities.
I love that. That's great. I tell you what, you are a great guest. I've really enjoyed this. And I appreciate you taking time to talk with us. I want to thank all of you for joining us here on Aging in Place. Have a wonderful week. I'd like to introduce you to a friend of mine, Tracy. Tracy is naturally curious and always creative. And when we were doing the Aging in Place podcast, she said, there are so many quick tips that I can think of offhand. My response, who knew? She's going to be with us every week, giving us a quick tip and a hint that is a practical application.
Thanks, Debbie. It's no help if you don't carry it. Housebound or not, keep your cell phone beside you 24/7. Your cell phone can only help you in an emergency when you have it with you. Persons with disabilities, those who walk with assistance, and those who don't. The kitchen and the bathroom are the two rooms where most injuries occur, with the bathroom being the most risky. Today's market finds waterproof cell phone bags and cases that can be worn around the neck. So if you do slip in the shower, your phone will still be within reach. Yes, you can subscribe to a life alert system, which is wonderful, but some can't afford the service. And since you already own a cell phone, why not use it for all of its potential? And make sure you have your emergency contacts in your phone too. We don't want anyone to say, who knew, when it comes to you needing help.
Wow, who knew that flooring could be so interesting? Kathleen Mayers is an amazing guest. And if you weren't impressed, wow, you should be. The things that she knew, it really shows the consummate professional that she is. I tell you, I got a lot of takeaways. And here's the bottom line. Whatever flooring you choose, choose it wisely, because it's going to be something you're going to live with for a long time, and the options are limitless. My takeaway is find a professional to sell you the flooring. It matters a lot. Thank you all for joining us here on Aging in Place. Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.
Aging in Place podcast is hosted by Debbie Lyons and produced by Henrik de Gior. If you have any comments or questions, send an email to debbie@agingInPlacePodcast.com. We would love to hear from you. If you're interested in advertising or sponsoring this podcast, email us at pr@agingInPlacePodcast.com. Thank you for listening to Aging in Place Podcast.